You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
The easiest thing I've done was to get out from under the labels and to live the life that I live. The most difficult thing I've ever done was to believe that I can do it.
It's the moment you realize everything in your life has come to a point where you can either stay where you are or you can pick up your bags, build the courage to move that inch. To move that inch in order to build even just the slightest bit of momentum.
Life is a series of fights. I mean, think about it. You're either in a fight, just got out of a fight, or trust me, there's a fight right around the corner just waiting for you.
Life is going to beat up on you in so many ways, and many things, they come back. You know, negative thoughts and how you feel about yourself, they don't die. They come back once you stop doing the maintenance work on your mind.
1 inch is all it takes. It's the time in your life where it's do or die. What are you going to do? It's the time when you're feeling like you're scraping the bottom of the barrel. You're in the dark, but it's up to you to change your perception to shed some light on where you are.
Listening to motivational messages, going to seminars and workshops, spending time quietly listening to the still small voice within. Who am I really? Is this really me? Am I giving my best? Am I just reflecting what's around me? Because all of these various things affect how we show up in life.
When I think about fighting, I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about situations. I'm talking about circumstances. I'm talking about opportunities that sometimes you have to fight for.
Right now, wherever you are, as you are today, you have enough right now to build the legacy that you really want.
It's the time when you're ready to give up. But you know, if you do, you'll never be able to live with yourself with the guilt and shame of not pulling yourself out of this state. Which way are you going to turn?
Things may happen to you and things may happen around you, but the most important things are the things that happen in you. And you have to stand up inside yourself and deal with it and handle it.
Now is the time to start building your legacy. Now is the moment to start making your impact.
Best return that I got on my investment isn't the real estate investments that I made, even though those have made me great returns. It's not the stock market investments that I made, even though they made me great returns. It's not the startup investments that I made. It's the investments that I made in myself. Because for me, the investments that I put into my own financial education have paid off many, 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 many times over. And you can't see those returns anywhere else. You know, they say that the best investment you can make is in you. And for me, that was first by reading books. When I started my financial education journey, YouTube didn't have this level of financial education out there, or just general business education or whatever. So I started by reading books. Now, you don't even have to pay the price to get a book. Just go watch as many YouTube videos as possible about financial education, starting a business, about increasing your income, about investing, anything related to financial education. Go start watching YouTube videos. You don't have to watch my channel if you don't like it. Watch whoever you want. I'd rather see you successful than anything else. So go watch as many videos as you can. You have a ton of videos as well. Once you start watching videos and you absorb yourself into this, now you might want something a little bit deeper, something a little bit more comprehensive. And this is where then start reading books. I would recommend that you go out and start by reading 25 books in financial education and read them. Find the top 5 books in money management and investing, the top 5 books in starting a business, the top 5 books in scaling a business, the top 5 books in managing a business, and the top 5 books of entrepreneur biographies. And it doesn't matter which ones you pick, find the ones with the highest ratings, the highest reviews, and just read them. This is going to cost you less than $500. But when you do that, you're going to be able to get an MBA level education without paying the price of an MBA. And you're going to look at the world, your money, and the way you use your money completely differently once you finish these books. Now, once you do that, you can decide, what do you want to do? Do you want to go down the entrepreneurial journey, take the risk and do that? Or do you want to do it through your job? Either one is fine. For me, it was entrepreneurship because that's something I love. I love that risk. I love the whole journey with that. And I don't mind working hard and doing that. If that's not for you, fine. So for me, that's what it was. It was investing in myself. Now, for the people that don't want to be an entrepreneur, it's completely okay not being an entrepreneur. I want to put that out there first because I know kind of the internet makes it seem like everybody has to be an entrepreneur. It doesn't work like that. Not everybody is meant to be an entrepreneur. Not everybody should be an entrepreneur. But if you're not an entrepreneur now, what you want to be doing, and everybody should be doing this, is create a system where not every time you get paid, a piece of your money is going to be invested. And if you do the math, you'll see why this is so important. If you start at 21 and you invest $4 a day, and you do this from the age of 21 until 66, and you just invest this money.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Into the S&P 500, which is the general stock market, and you get an average historical return of 10% a year. This doesn't mean your money grows by 10% every year. It means this is the average. Some years it's going to be more, some years it's going to be less, some years you might lose money, some years you'll make way more. Well, over the course of your career, that $4 a day investment is going to grow to more than $1 million investment portfolio, starting with just $4 a day. If you go about life and you say, the government's the reason why I'm broke, my greedy corporation is the reason why I'm stuck at a job that I hate, I can't change my life because of X, Y, and Z, you keep pointing your fingers as to why you can't succeed. Well, it's going to be impossible for you to succeed. Likewise, if you go around saying, I can't have that nice thing because I'm broke, I can't have the nice thing because I grew up in a bad environment, I can never become successful because of the way I look, I can never do it because of whatever, I can guarantee you are never going to become successful. But if we turn this around and you say, how can I become successful? How can I make more money? How can I become wealthy? How can I get out of the situation that I'm in? Now your brain looks at problems completely differently because of now you're not complaining about the problem, but you're trying to find a solution to the problem. And that's the biggest difference between somebody who becomes wealthy and somebody who does not. It starts with the mindset because then once you change the mindset, you're going to start changing your actions. Now you're going to find out, oh, I don't need to spend money at Gucci. Oh, I don't need to go out and eat every single day. Oh, I can save money here. Oh, I can ask for a raise at my job. Oh, maybe I can start a side hustle. Oh, maybe I can start my own business. Oh, you mean I could actually potentially take my income from $40,000 a year to $400,000 a year? That's possible? Because when most people hear that, you think it's impossible. Somebody like me could never go from $40,000 to $400,000 a year. But until you believe it's possible, you're never going to put in the action to actually make it possible. How is it that some people can become so incredibly wealthy while the majority of people don't? It's not that they have some special superpower. It's not that they own some special skill. It's not that they're so much smarter than people. It's not that they work so much harder. It's that they believe that they can, and then they use their time differently.
Then what do you do? Well, then you turn down to the micro routines. It's like, okay, well, this is what I'm aiming for. How does that instantiate itself day to day, week to week, month to month? And that's where something like a schedule can be unbelievably useful. Google Calendar. It's like, make a damn schedule and stick to it. Okay, so what's the rule with the schedule? It's not a bloody prison. That's the first thing that people do wrong. They say, well, I don't like to follow a schedule. It's like, well, what kind of schedule are you setting up? Well, I have to do this, then I have to do this, then I have to do this, you know, and then I just go play video games because who wants to do all these things that I have to do? It's like, wrong. Set the damn schedule up so that you have the day you want. That's the trick. It's like, okay, I've got tomorrow. If I was going to set it up so it was the best possible day I could have, practically speaking, what would it look like? Well, then you schedule that. And obviously, there's a bit of responsibility that's going to go along with that, because if you have any sense, one of the things that you're going to insist upon is that at the end of the day, you're not in worse shape than you were than at the beginning of the day, right? Because that's a stupid day. If you have a bunch of those in a row, you just dig, you know, you dig yourself a hole and then you bury yourself in it. It's like, sorry, that's just not a good strategy.
Now it's okay. Now you got your vision. You're trying to get through a territory you don't understand. And here's your option. No map, a map that's not so good but has some things about it, or a great map. Well, right. Obviously the great map is the thing you want,
yeah.
But the map that's something is way better than the map that's nothing. Plus, as you explore, because of your map, you could start to fill in the details. Let's say you aim at something and you develop some skills along the way, and then you get like a third of the way there and you think, oh, that's not for me. It's like, well, yeah, fair enough, but now you've still got the skills you developed. You know exactly why it's not for you now. And then you can bring that wisdom back, even though it's not perfect, you can bring it back to your next plan. And so as you plan, you get better at planning, which is the crucial thing. So then we say to people, well, take your positive vision and make it into 8 stateable goals, right? So, and then rank them in a hierarchy, break the goals into incremental goals so that you have a reasonable probability of succeeding.
Right.
Within some time frame. That's the other thing. You have to parameterize it with regards to time frame. That's right. And when you're in the zone, you're expanding your skills in a manner that's intrinsically rewarding because you're succeeding. And so you want to set, if you're good to yourself, you think, okay, I need to set a goal, but I need to set a goal that someone as stupid and useless as me could probably attain if they put some effort into it.
Right.
And then you've got it perfectly, because it's not so high that it's grandiose or impossible that you fail necessarily and then justify your bitterness. Well, I set a goal and I didn't attain it, so I'm not going to set any more goals.
Right.
It's like, no, you set a goal that was inappropriate. And you're playing a trick on yourself because you wanted to fail so that you could justify not having to try, which isn't helpful. You're still going to be a victim. It's like, there's no way out of that, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, because life is a challenge that in some sense can't be surmounted. So there's no way out of your problem. But there are certainly proper ways of dealing with it. And then the next thing is, okay, you need a rationale for them, because you're going to have doubts and people are going to put up obstacles. Why would it be good for you? Okay. Why would it be good for your family if you attained that goal? Why would it be good for the broader community? Because if it's a good goal, it should be good for you. That's fine. But if it's a really good goal, it should be good for you in a way that's good for other people.
Win-win-win.
Yes, exactly. And if you're going to decide what your goals are, why not set up the ones that benefit the largest number of people simultaneously.
Yeah.
Yes, if you can do that. You should start with your own concerns, because you have to take care of yourself.
Basic needs first.
Yes, put your own
family.
Oxygen mask on, then put your child's oxygen
Community.
Mask on. Yeah, right. And then you can, as you build up the basis of competence locally, you might develop enough skills so that you can expand that outward.
Mm-hmm.
And it also gives your goal a certain amount of nobility. And so if someone challenges you and says, well, why are you doing that? That seems stupid. You could say, I'm doing that because it helps me take care of myself, but it benefits my family, and here's the reasons why, and this is the repercussions out into the broader community. People who are putting up objections and doubts aren't armed to deal with that kind of response.
Yeah.
And then when you have those doubts in your mind that plague you, I say, why am I doing this? Oh yeah, it's because, well, I have to take care of myself because otherwise I'm pathetic and useless and bitter and cruel, and then I'm going somewhere terrible, so that's a bad idea, and here's how it would help my family, and here's how it would help the community, and that's good enough set of reasons for it, unless I can think of better ones.
Right.
If without better ones, that's good enough. When the unknown emerges, you tend to experience anxiety. And then there's the known, and I define the known very specifically and very carefully. The known is the place you are when what you're doing produces the results you want. And I say want because that brings motivation and emotion into the game. So you're motivated to pursue something. You pursue it, and what you want happens. Not only do you get what you want, but you get validation for the structure that governs your perceptions and your actions.
Can we spike dopamine? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and you've done this. So your example of craving is actually what you crave. You crave the feeling of craving. It's beautiful because what it means is that you don't allow yourself to go so far down the arc of the dopamine trajectory to get to the other source of motivation. So there are two sources of motivation as it relates to dopamine, and then we can think about tools that we could export from these that are nested in neurobiology. The first is to do what you do, which is to be able to sense the craving as its own form of pleasure. This has kind of remnants of Carol Dweck's growth mindset, that you eventually develop a pleasure in the seeking and the striving. Has flavors of a David Goggins type approach, where it seems like he gets pleasure from the friction itself. And so there are elements of that. You seem to have that as well. Anytime you have a bunch of dopamine and you're in pursuit, after you achieve a win, now this could be a business win, a relationship, a win of any kind, but inevitably there's going to be a tipping back of the scale on the pain side. And that pain side is always going to go a little bit higher than the dopamine side. So this is what you would feel if you pursued a goal like building a big company. Here it comes, the big sale. And then there's the, well, what now? You have the kind of letdown. Now, if you simply wait and stop pursuing dopamine for a short while, the scale starts to reset. The problem is a lot of people immediately roll right into the next pursuit. And then what happens is that scale starts to get stuck on the pain side. Little bit more. And pretty soon, no amount of seeking will allow you to experience that craving and motivation.
It's simply taking stress, which is wired into us in order to make us feel agitated, instead of suppressing us, you know, instead of saying, you know what, I'm just gonna sit here, I'm overwhelmed, I'm not gonna do it, I'm just gonna move into action. So there's a circuit for winning. There's the same circuit when it's hypoactive, not active enough, is what causes losing in these competitive scenarios. And similarly, there's a circuit for quitting. There's a norepinephrine circuit in the brainstem. This was published in the last couple years, showing that when animals or people are in constant effort, eventually that level of norepinephrine gets so high that it triggers a circuit that shuts down the motor control over the limbs, and you just say, that's it, I give up, I'm done. So these mechanisms were hardwired into us. We all have them. Whether or not it's from evolution, Mother Nature, God, the universe, it's irrelevant to the discussion that these circuits exist in everybody. And I think it's a select few people who really understand that forward action is what drives these circuits. It's the ability to take that agitation, stress, agitation, increase our focus, and they bias us for movement. And nature wanted that. They want us to move forward in the face of challenge, not to be quiescent. We weren't sitting around battling tigers and saber-toothed tigers all the time. More likely, we were in caves and we were getting hungry and we had to go out and search for things. Agitation and stress were designed to get us up and move us. And when we try and fight that too much and we try and quiet that stress, that actually can be problematic. You have to decide, are you gonna try and quiet stress or are you gonna actually lean into action? That's a critical choice point for everybody.
Athletes or academics or anyone or musicians, and they rise and crash, it's clear they've lost the touch with the motivation evoked dopamine. And they've lost touch probably because it hasn't really been described by the neuroscience community until Anna has started talking about this stuff publicly, and I'm echoing what she's beautifully said much better than I am, which is that you should always expect that after a bunch of pleasure, there's going to be that low, and then that craving, how do I get back to there again? And the key is you have to walk the staircase again. You don't get to do this as a square wave pull. You know, you don't get to just ascend, ascend, ascend. It's always up, down, up a little bit higher, down, up, you know, it's that's the function. But there's always that kind of, today's not as exciting as the previous days. What am I gonna do with my life? But then if you let it start ratcheting up again, then what you realize is your capacity to tap into dopamine as a motivator, not just seeking dopamine rewards, that is infinite. And I can say with great certainty that this is how you were able to build a big company and sell it, how you've been able to build a successful podcast and sell it, how you constantly seeking, because seeking is the reward. And I think for most people, we think of the reward as the finish line. And so the key is to get to the finish line, step into the end zone, but no end zone dance. It's just like, yep, and now I'm gonna go do it again.
I mean, I think it's quite painful and difficult, honestly. and it feels terrible. The company is sort of looking to, you know, me to, you know, rally them, and I do. But I honestly feel super bad.
So what does super hard mean? Well, when my brother and I were starting our first company, instead of getting an apartment, we just rented a small office and we slept on the couch. And we showered at the YMCA, and we're so hard up, we had just one computer. So the website was up during the day, and I was coding at night. 7 days a week, all the time.
If other people are putting in 40-hour work weeks and you're putting in 100-hour work weeks, then even if you're doing the same thing, you know that you will achieve in 4 months what it takes them a year to achieve.
When I was young, I didn't really know what I was going to do when I got older. People kept asking me, but then eventually I thought that the idea of inventing things would be really cool. And the reason I thought that was because I read a quote from Arthur C. Clarke, which said that sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic, and that's really true. If you go back, say 300 years, the things that we take for granted today you'd be burned at the stake for. Being able to fly, that's crazy. Being able to see over long distances, being able to communicate, having effectively with the internet. A group mind of sorts, and having access to all the world's information instantly from almost anywhere on the earth. This is stuff that really would be magic, or would be considered magic in times past. In fact, I think it actually goes beyond that, because there are many things that we take for granted today that weren't even imagined in times past. They weren't even in the realm of magic. So it actually goes beyond that. So I thought, well, you know, if I can do some of those things, basically if I can advance technology, then that's like magic, and that would be really cool. I was at sort of a slight existential crisis, because I was trying to figure out what does it all mean? Like, what's the purpose of things? And I came to the conclusion that if we can advance the knowledge of the world, if we can do things that expand the scope and scale of consciousness, then we're better able to ask the right questions and become more enlightened, and that's really the only way forward. For any given company, just can keep thinking about, are these efforts that people are expending, are they resulting in a better product or service? And if they're not, stop those efforts. And then the final thing is don't just follow the trend. You may have heard me say that it's good to think in terms of the physics approach of first principles, which is, rather than reasoning by analogy, you boil things down to the most fundamental truths you can imagine, and you reason up from there. And this is a good way to figure out if something really makes sense, or if it's just what everybody else is doing. It's hard to think that way. You can't think that way about everything. It takes a lot of effort. But if you're trying to do something new, it's the best way to think. And that framework was developed by physicists to figure out counterintuitive things like quantum mechanics. So it's really a powerful method. I think the final thing I would encourage you to do is, now is the time to take risk. You don't have, you don't have kids. Your obligation. Well, Simon, probably don't have kids. But as you get older, your obligations increase. So and once you have a family, you start taking risk not just for yourself but for your family as well. It gets much harder to do things that might not work out. So now is the time to do that before you have those obligations. So I would encourage you to take risks now. Do something bold. You won't regret it. Thank you.
When we talk about a dog mentality, the dog scrambles. The dog runs after whatever it wants. When a dog is hungry, move out of its way, because it's coming for blood. And the reason why you don't have what you want is because you are not hungry enough. You make a better millionaire than you would a welfare recipient. You make a better millionaire than you would just barely getting by, making 30, 40,000. You like right there on the poverty line. You make a better millionaire. You make a better doctor, a better lawyer, a better teacher, a better activist, a better wife. I don't know, a better husband, a better son. I don't know. I'm just saying, stop settling. Stop settling for less. You deserve the best. Underdog is just a man or a woman who has made up their mind. They are no longer going to live in their setbacks. They are no longer going to live in your reality. Your reality of me says I'm not enough. Your reality of me says I can't do this.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Rebate in form of Visa gift card equal to 100% off the second eligible item purchased before or after applicable discounts, if any. See details. Offer ends 7/9.
Reality of me says you won't finish today. My reality says all I have is all I need. I'm not living in my setback any longer. I'm moving forward.
Listen to me, you make a much better millionaire than you would a welfare recipient. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You deserve better. And how do I know? Because I've been there, I've done that.
So if you're listening to me right now, and there's anything in your life that is defeating you, if there's anything in your life that seems like an improbable feat, you gotta smell blood. Once you get that scent like a hound dog, you get that scent. You see what is possible. You see what you are capable of. In the face of adversity, in the face of challenges, in the face of everybody that says you are not enough, you're not tall enough, you're not big enough, you're not wide enough, you're not fast enough, it's in that very moment that the dreams got to get bigger than the disappointment, than the fear, than the anxiety, than the stress, than the overwhelm. It's got to get bigger, the dream. Once that dream gets bigger and you get a scent for that dream, you start to smell that dream, there's nothing on planet Earth that can stop you. You become armed and dangerous. You are the most dangerous individual on planet Earth.
The underdog is a person that comes out on the playing field and says, okay, I've been in this place of pain my whole life. I've gone without for so long. This is the day you make up in your mind where I will take the throne.
Go look in the mirror. I don't care if you're in the car, look in the rearview mirror. I don't care if you're at work, go to the bathroom. I don't care if you're at home, go get in the shower, go to the bathroom, and look at yourself in the mirror and say flat out, you deserve better.
You are gonna have to push, 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 because they said you can't do it. They said you don't have what it takes to make the investments. They said you don't have what it takes to lose the weight. They said you don't have what it takes to hang on to your marriage. Everybody has been counting out. Everybody has been doubted.
The underdog is not a person who doesn't feel pain, doubt, and fear. The underdog is a person that turns that pain, that doubt, that fear into their fuel. Your story is not your fortress. Your story is your fuel. If you came from a place where you had nothing, that's everything that you need.
The underdog is like music to his ears. Tell me I'm not good enough. Tell me I'm not strong enough. Tell me I won't finish. There is this intrinsic emotion, this instinct. You have just awakened the lion in me. And so an underdog is just somebody who refused to live in the setback. It is a person who rebels against your reality. Your reality of me is that I'm not enough. Your reality of me is that I'm not qualified. Your reality of me is that I'm not quick enough. I'm not fast enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not linear enough. This is your reality. My reality of me is that all I have is all I need. I'm coming after everything you said I couldn't have.
If you've been an underdog in the weight room, if you've been an underdog in life, if you've been an underdog financially, I'm talking to that person who grew up without a father. I'm talking to that person who grew up without a mother. I'm talking to that person who didn't grow up with handouts. I'm talking to that person who maybe if you did grew up with a little bit of handouts, but maybe you were misunderstood and you were overlooked and you were undervalued and you were mishandled and misguided. I'm talking to that person that is acquainted with pain. I'm talking to that person that knows what it's like to come from nothing. And so you literally have nothing to lose. And the only thing that's in your hand is a dream. The only thing that's in your head is I have what it takes to get to the top of that hill. Because I am not the wolf on the hill. I am the wolf climbing the hill. I have nothing to lose.